Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. I'm Reverend Cora Glass, a deacon in connection with this congregation, and it's great to be in worship here with you this morning as we seek to know God, love God, and serve God with our whole hearts. We're continuing today our Worship at the Movies series, and I'm looking forward to today's sermon. Before we get to that, I hope that you'll take a second to look in your bulletin. There's a lot of great information about things happening in the life of the church in your bulletin, and you'll also find the connection card slid in there. That piece of paper is your way to let us know that you are here worshiping with us this morning. You can also use it to indicate things that you would like to connect to or learn more about. You can put that connection card into the offering basket when it comes by later in worship. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, it is great to have you here. We hope that you will also take a moment to find that sign-in form online to connect with us and be connected. There's also in the back of your pew some cards that you may use to share a prayer request with our leadership and clergy team. You can fill that out and also put that into the offering basket as it comes by. On behalf of Pastor John and our whole worship and clergy leadership team, we are so glad to have you here. I want to take a moment to invite any children who want to go to Sunday school to make their way there. Our ushers in the back can help to direct you to the Sunday school rooms. Today's sermon does have some topics about mental illness that might feel a little challenging for our younger folks, so just want to put that out there. The Sunday school will be developmentally perfect for them. I have a couple announcements. The first is that the Friendly Links was going to have an orientation meeting, and that's been postponed until the fall. So that meeting has been postponed. What is coming up is on August 16th, we have our theater camp performances. You can see on the screen there, that'll be both at the 9:30 and the 11 a.m. service on August 16th. We hope you'll come and see our young people put on a great musical theater Sunday. And also, we have a summer luncheon coming up. That is our United Methodist Women in Faith Salad Buffet Luncheon on Thursday, August 20th, over lunchtime. There are tickets available in advance or at the door, so please come and enjoy a great meal and good fellowship together. That's my announcements for this morning. Let's rise to sing our hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God of all, you have loved us, so let us love one another wholeheartedly. Help us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Give us courage to be accepting of those we may not understand and forgiving toward those who have hurt us. We want to live like you and be fully in love with all of your creation. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading is Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be kind to our neighbors. Amen. So, we're in the midst of this sermon series about movies that we've watched, and Pastor Lindsay was probably quite right to call me out for choosing this one to encourage people to watch. If you haven't seen A Man Called Otto, it's an extremely strange casting for Tom Hanks. He's usually put into roles as like a really nice all-American guy, and every time I look at Tom Hanks, I'm like, man, I just wish I could be kind and uplifting and positive like Tom Hanks. He's just a good guy, it seems like, in every movie that he's cast, and so it's so weird when this movie opens and Tom Hanks is angry and upset, not just with people that irritate him, but like with everybody, like cashiers at the store who can't figure out how to give proper change, and people, you know, just in the neighborhood who are trying to do deliveries of packages. He's angry with just about everyone. Maybe you've met somebody like Otto in your life, and you've come across them, and you're like, whoo, that hurt. It just hurt being around them. You can feel their anger and vitriol from almost arm's distance away. Maybe you've been around somebody like Otto, and they've just burned you right off the bat. And I sometimes wonder, you know, when somebody is angry and sort of vindictive and upset with people, like, what's going on in their life? What is the issue that is causing them to be upset with me? And oftentimes when people are angry and upset with me and they're short-tempered and doing something that that is obvious that they're upset, that's one of my strange superpowers is most of the time I'm able to say, oh, geez, I wonder what's going on with them. And maybe that's my way of deflecting, like maybe I was doing something wrong, maybe they were right to be upset, maybe that's true. But I oftentimes find myself saying, if somebody is treating other people poorly, it probably means that they are not doing so well themselves. And it says so much more about the people who are angry and upset and vindictive than it actually does about you. And sometimes I use phrases like, could this possibly be about something else? Or is there something going on in your life that's causing you to treat people this way? So Otto's standing in line in one of the opening scenes of the film, and he's trying to get 5 feet of rope, but the hardware store doesn't sell rope in, you know, 3-foot increments. And then when he says, I only want 5 feet, and he's done the math in his head, and he's like, it should be $1.66 or whatever he says, but the cashier is asking for $2.13, and he's like, I want 5 feet of rope, not 6. Like, can't you do the math in your head? Ring it up in the cash register. Well, the cash register can't do that. It only sells in 6-foot increments, and Otto's just ready to blow a fuse. People in line behind him are like, here's your 13 cents, you grumpy old man. And Otto's just going on and on, and he's about to blow a gasket. And lo and behold, that same night when Otto goes home, and this is where some of the themes that we're going to be talking about today, I just want to reiterate, they're really intended for folks of mature audiences, but at the same time, as you hear them, know that there are so many resources out there that you can reach out to for support. Today's sermon series has got some mature elements to it, and so I just want to say that in case you're walking in late and didn't hear that sort of precursor. We're talking about A Man Called Otto, and if you've seen that film, Otto's struggling with mental health. He's depressed, and the reason why he's depressed is because he's lost the love of his life. She passed away early. She passed away quickly. And Otto is left with a broken heart. And so all of that anger and bitterness is really attached to his own deep grief from losing the person that he loved so dearly, a woman that he met perchance on a train while trying to return a book to her. And she pays for his train fare, and they connect and continue to go on and build this relationship. And they're eating dinner together, and he confesses, "I don't have a job. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. There's really no reason why you would ever be with me." And the story goes on as they develop this loving relationship with one another. And I love this moment of proposal, right? Because everyone usually has some proposal story. So he's sitting with her and he goes, "There's probably no chance you'd ever marry me, right?" And she like stops the car and she goes, "Otto, ask me the right way." And he's like, okay. It's like every man's like fear, right? Is like, you know, that you work up all the courage to work up some sort of proposal ask or whatever, and that your potential bride-to-be looks at you and is like, "Ask me a different way." You're like, recalibrate. Oh, wasn't ready for that. And he goes, "Will you marry me?" She's like, "Yes, Otto." Whew. Huge relief. Story goes on, and after he loses her, he's so distraught that multiple times in the movies on the cusp of ending it for himself. And that's the most mature and intense part of this whole message. And I just want to say, if that's ever been a part of your journey, part of your struggle, where you've wrestled with the importance and significance of life and how you move on in the midst of grief, if you've ever been in a place where you've wondered whether or not life itself was worth living, I want to let you know that this is a place, this is a community where you can receive support and help. And I can't thank Pastor Lynn and Deacon Loretta enough, and Libby when she's been a part of leading these grief support groups. They're life-saving experiences sometimes for folks as people try to move through grief and loss. And if you're looking for a place where you can receive support and help, please reach out to the clergy staff or anybody here, because that's where Otto finds himself, wondering if there is any life beyond the loss of his wife. And he's right on the cusp of making that decision, and suddenly these obnoxious, loud neighbors move into the community, and as soon as they move in, Otto's out encouraging them to parallel park right and encouraging them to do all these things that he wants his neighbors to be able to do correctly in an exacting way. And in the midst of them parking and getting into their new neighborhood, they're like, "We're your new neighbors." And he's like, "I wish you weren't." You know, he greets them in an incredibly unneighborly way, but they're persistent and they keep connecting. They keep reaching out. They knock on Otto's door and they bring him food. He's like, "What do you want? I don't like cookies. Take them away. I don't want to eat your food." And he's just angry and ornery. But over the course of the movie, as you can imagine, Otto's heart is softened. He's transformed because his neighbors don't give up on him. They keep banging on his door. They keep annoying him. They keep intervening at moments when Otto is at his low point. They continue to share their cultural values and their identity with him. In the midst of the movie, Otto runs into a transgender mail delivery person in the midst of the story. And this person pulls over and he says, "Hey, your wife was one of my teachers growing up, and she was the first person to call me by my name, my chosen name. And she encouraged everybody else in the school to do the same thing. Your wife saved my life." And immediately these two are connected in the story as well. And it's a powerful story about a neighborhood and what neighbors can mean when they bond together and make connections and tell their stories and are vulnerable with each other. I can't underscore enough that this American ideology that we're all self-made and that we can stand on our own independent two feet, that we can, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, some people say, is such a dangerous ideology when you're struggling with grief and mental health. Those things are completely incompatible to me. It's okay to process grief and work through some of our issues by ourselves, but it's so much better when you do it in community. There was a story about an African village that went through an incredible time of grief and loss. People had passed away as a result of the Ebola crisis, and part of the humanitarian aid that was sent over to this particular community was a whole bunch of therapists. And they would pull people aside and ask them to talk about the loss that they were experiencing, which is a beautiful American way to process grief. At a certain point, the village elders came together and they walked over to these American therapists and they sat down with them and they said, "Thank you for coming. It means the world to us that people halfway around the world would show up to our village to help us, but I need to tell you, this is not the African way. In our community, we get together and we eat together and we dance and sometimes we just sit in silence together. But we do it as a village, as a community. We build relationships with one another, and we grieve by experiencing life together. We share deeply about the hurt and the harm of grief and loss. But I have to tell you, when you pull us away from our village and we sit down with somebody one-on-one and you ask us to talk about our feelings and we can't dance and we can't sing and we can't eat, and it just feels sterile to us. I want my neighbors. They've been there with me through thick and thin, and that's how we're going to get through this Ebola crisis." And so the American therapists, and there's nothing wrong with American therapy. It's one way of getting through grief, but it's not the only way. And in this particular village, all that these folks wanted was their neighbors and their community to support them and wrap their arms around each other. Like, "Thanks for bringing food. It means the world to us that you're here. We have each other." My hope for you is that you have somebody in your life that keeps knocking on your door when things aren't going well, when things are in the midst of the twists and turns and peaks and valleys of life, that you have somebody in your life who knocks on your door and brings you cookies and gives you a hug if you're into hugs and wraps their arms around you and supports you in ways that are meaningful and significant for you. That's what Otto had. And at the end of the story, Otto takes his entire estate. He passes away kind of suddenly and unexpectedly of a heart issue, and he leaves his entire estate to the neighbors that had cared for him in some of his moments of despair and weakness. He says, "You took care of me and helped me find new meaning and purpose and joy in life." And you can see this character completely shift. And then I'm like, that's the Tom Hanks I know. Welcome back, buddy. But he completely transforms, and you can like see it in his face. His face is lighting up with joy and the love of neighbor. And at the end of it, he goes, "I apologize," in his own sort of like gruff way, "for being difficult to deal with. At times I know I was a jerk to people in the neighborhood." And then I love like his personality continues to shine through this letter. He goes, "It's now your responsibility to make sure everyone parks right on the side of the street. Take care of this neighborhood that we've watched over." I want to circle back to the place that I started. There are folks all around us, and you probably know somebody, perhaps comes to mind, that when you talk with them every time, it feels like you're getting a first-degree burn, even from a distance across the room. The way that they talk and the abrasive nature that they might exude for one reason or another, and sometimes it's easy to just sort of hold folks at a distance, but I want to encourage you to allow those thoughts to run through your head that maybe they're dealing with grief, maybe they're dealing with loss, maybe they've had a rough road through life, and over the course of the lifetime, with all of the issues that they face, maybe they become bristled or maybe a little bit gruff. My encouragement to you is to find yourself, instead of meeting that with with anger and vitriol and vengeance back and forth, maybe what you can do is come back with compassion and grace and keep knocking on the door. This is a story of Wesleyan transformation and grace. Where we start isn't where we finish. The angry, grumpy people that we begin life with is not the same people that we, you know, need to be at the end of our life. It doesn't have to define our entire story. And yesterday, I was a part of a bike ride that I love to do every year. It's called the ODRAM, the one-day ride across Michigan. And we were biking with about 150 people from a little bit north of Grand Rapids to Bay City. And I don't know what it is. I'm sorry if you drive a huge truck, but there's something about big trucks on the side of the road that when you're biking and you can hear like these huge engines, they're like V8s or whatever, and you can hear them coming from a mile off, which I appreciate, by the way, better than electric cars that are silent, that scare you to death. But these big trucks, oftentimes with a younger guy driving, will roll down their window and offer their greeting to you as you're biking on the side of the road. Most of the time, those greetings are unkind. Many times, Those greetings are accompanied by additional hand gestures. I find myself wondering, like, what is going on in somebody's mind and heart that just to some random bikers on the side of the road, you feel a need to roll down your window and shout something incredibly unkind and to extend some hand gesture that is also incredibly unkind. And I find myself wondering, like, what must be going on in this person's life where, like, that's the response? There are other folks who drive past the road and they roll down their windows and they're like, great job, keep going. And they have cowbells and they have all kinds of wonderful noise-making things. And some people slow down and they allow you to keep biking and then they pass you when the other lane is open and clear to go. I want to encourage you to be the kind of community that you'd like to receive as well. I want to encourage you to be a part of the good news that somebody might need to hear. And so as the, quite frankly, most of the time, huge trucks went by on the side of the road and they'd extend their hand gestures, I would always wave back and say, have a nice day. It's my little attempt at changing the community and making a world that I want to live in that's safer and enhances human flourishing to repay evil or anger or bitterness with love. To me, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was encouraging us to do in this passage. I love this. This passage from Romans is so on point. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. I want to challenge you the next time you meet somebody new and they meet you with anger and bitterness to repay them with love, to show compassion, and maybe even take the extra step of when the time is right and that initial interaction is over to go back and say, how are you doing? Can I hear your story? What's going on? And I'm almost willing to bet, if I was a betting person, that most of the time, what's behind that angry, bitter, resentful facade is somebody who's hurting dearly, somebody who is hoping to share their story of pain. And when that wall comes down, incredible transformation and grace comes pouring in. Let us create the world and the people that we dream we might all become. Thanks be to God for transformational grace. Amen.
Seems dark and gray, Lord. So if you've been coming to church enough, or over the years, you know me. I'm Carol. I do the worship hosting off and on. And you also know that I bring a little story before the prayer to give us a focus, to kind of go along with how I came up with our prayer, but also to help you focus on maybe something that you might want to pray about. So I have a close attachment to curmudgeons. I grew up in a family, the three of us, my mom, dad, and my sister, and I am the only one, I believe I'm adopted sometimes, because I'm the only one that's actually expressive and outwardly kind of have some emotions. And my dad in particular is kind of a grump, but not overly emotive. And but he and I are a lot alike in the sense that we both have anxiety, we both kind of depressed at times. I got my sense of humor from my dad. But I remember after watching this movie and seeing Otto, it kind of made me think about my dad and our relationship and those people that you have to dig a little bit deeper and know something a little bit more about what's happening under the surface. And that was my dad. That is my dad. So when I was in my early 20s and I came back to the nest, so to speak, and I had a unsuccessful moment of adulting, it didn't work, and I knew my dad was super disappointed, or I feared that he was. And I remember walking into the bedroom. My dad always came home from work and watched TV in the bedroom. So I went in, and here is my dad, who's unassuming and completely calm, and I am sobbing, and I know he's completely uncomfortable with this. And I just said, I know that you can't handle this, but I have to express it. And I just sobbed and snots all over the place, and my dad's just sitting there. Well, go ahead 30 years, and my dad is in his 80s, and he's struggling with health, and he's a curmudgeon. And my mom hadn't come into the house yet. And I sat down with my dad and I said, quit being a jerk. And then he started to sob. And he told me, and the story came out. And it was like the seeing into the Otto of it all, seeing what was underneath. And that was what my prayer is about, for all those curmudgeons out there and for us to understand what might be underneath the curmudgeon. Let's pray. Dear Lord, to you all praise and glory are given. We praise your name for all of the blessings in our life, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, and even strangers we meet that share with us their stories and experiences. You show your lessons to us through them. We can practice living our best Christian life through all of those folks that you bring in our lives for as long or short a time period they will be there. Some of those people are easy to love, similar to us in our thinking, and easy to understand. But you are always challenging us and bring into our lives those whom we may not understand and those that are more difficult to love, even those that have wronged us. Even in difficult times, there are lessons to be learned. We may get frustrated and back away from these relationships, but if we are true Christians, we must accept these challenges and strive to live like you. Seek to live in harmony with one another and associate with all people. We pray to you to help us to seek the reward that will come from living like this. We place in your hands the task of taking on evil and seeking vengeance, and for ourselves, take on the task of overcoming evil by being the good in the world. We pray for patience and tolerance of those around us. the negativity that comes from being impatient and intolerant does not allow for us to see deeper into those that at a first glance we do not want to associate with. And by not associating with them, we may be missing out on the most rewarding relationships ever. You present us with so many opportunities to be fulfilled and to share the human experience that we pray we do not ignore or avoid them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing people into our own lives that have been willing to stay, even when we are being challenging, when we are rude, curmudgeonly, anxious, depressed, or maybe purposely trying to pick a fight, that you are giving those around us patience. And we thank you for letting our light shine through the crusty, hard shell of negativity. To your ears, we send our concerns for those people that are struggling at this time. We pray for our prayer quilt recipients today, Diane, Dave, and Catherine, that as they surround themselves in these blankets, that they will feel our prayers for relief from their worries and burdens, our prayers for good health. We also pray for those in the world that are experiencing uncertainty with their basic life needs, that are suffering under addictions, that are seeking shelter from war and violence. We pray for those that are experiencing a crisis of faith or are lost and wandering without purpose. We pray for those that are burdened with fears and anxiety about their lives, as opposed to looking at God and his righteousness and trusting that he will give us all that we need. We pray for those moments that we may be knocking on the door of someone that is standing on the edge of a decision, that we may be the hand that pulls them back, even when we don't realize it. Now let us pray in silence for our own personal prayers. And now let's say those words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This time of collecting our offering is an invitation to join with us in helping to multiply the values that we love and care about. If you feel like this congregation, this denomination, the life of the church and the people here are living into the world that you want to see, I invite you to consider partnering with us through your offering this morning. As we collect our offering, I invite Brian Fascione to come forward to speak with us about welcoming all LGBTQ+ advocacy project. Brian, are you in the room? Hey, come on down.
Oh, well, good morning, Brighton First. Good to see everybody here on this wonderful summer morning. Hope you're enjoying the weather. It's been fantastic out there. I just wanted to share some of the work that the LGBTQ+ Welcoming All group has been doing over the past couple of years. We've been co-leading this group, my wife and I, so I wanted to share just a couple of stories so you can kind of get a feel of what we've been experiencing and also some of the witness that we have come across. Well, about 2 years ago, we had an educational event at this church, and we had a panel of folks from this group, the LGBTQ+ community, share their personal stories and their experiences about being in this group and their experiences with local churches. One individual and their family attended a church in Livingston County. They grew up in the church. Their parents were extremely active and involved in the church. This individual, early on in adulthood, came out to their church as a transgender man. This transgender man, along with their parents, were made to feel uncomfortable. And soon after, it became clear they were not welcomed nor affirmed and had to leave their childhood church. Another individual on the panel, they attended a local church with her wife. At the beginning, both ladies were welcomed with open arms and relationship was quickly forming. Once it was shared that these ladies were married, they were quickly told this was not accepted, practiced, nor approved at the church, and the ladies had to leave the church. Lastly, the final story I wanted to share was at the Pride Parade event in front of the Howell Courthouse just this past June. Several people from this church attended the event and helped at the tent that we had there at this event. We teamed up with local congregations. The whole purpose was to let everyone know they were welcomed and safe to attend our churches, that they were loved by God just as they are. This was contrary to a couple of evangelists on the adjacent sidewalk at the same event. They used a microphone and a speaker to condemn participants as they walked by and tell them if they did not change, they would go to hell. Participants at our tent, as they came by, they shared with us their fears in attending church, past hurts that they've had at church in our community. And the sad part was they were very interested in having a faith community. They wanted a church family, but would they be welcomed, affirmed, or loved? In this church, over the past few years, a few youth and young adults have come out as part of the LGBTQ+ group. While it has not been perfect, I have witnessed here at this church genuine love. I have seen the church empathize, learn, and support, even if they may not understand. This is something I really would like to celebrate with all of you, because I know that love runs deep in this church and it will help us go forward. But these stories highlight the importance of the work this group is doing in our church and in our local community to raise awareness, educate, and advocate for all of God's people, to let people know they are loved, accepted, and affirmed just as God created them, to let people know they have a church family, a faith community here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake FUMC. Thank you for listening.
Please join me in prayer. Lord of all, you celebrate with us and cry with us. For your ever-loving presence, we give thanks and bring our offerings to your table. Bless these gifts and use them for the mission and ministry of your church, so that many more may know your love. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we close this week's worship service, I am so grateful to be able to share this roadmap with you of where we're headed in the next couple of weeks. So next week, we are going to be having our musical theater performance, and we hope that you'll join us for that. The kids have worked, will be working very hard over the course of this week. Susan, thank you so much for all the time and energy that you'll be putting in this week, and we will pray that our new air conditioning system won't go out, because that makes it hard for the kids to rehearse in a hot room, but it'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be ice cold in here. So, but after that, our church's leadership board just approved something that we've been working on for a long time in this church. It's a welcome statement, which is our best attempt to welcome everybody into our church. And I just felt like it was poignant to say that for the next 3 weeks, after next Sunday, we are going to be sort of talking about and rolling out our new welcome statement, which is our church's best attempt to live into the values that we've been talking about today, to be a place where everyone's welcome, whether you're curmudgeon like Otto, or if you're filled with joy, whether you're educated or you're, you know, working your way through school, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're famous or nobody, you feel like nobody knows your name. We're doing everything that we can to make this place be a place where everyone feels welcome. And over the next 3 weeks in the month of August, we're going to be talking about that value and why we feel like that's important, and how it can save people's lives. I really believe that this welcome statement, over the time that it gets deployed, there's going to be somebody, just like Brian said in his mission moment, there's going to be somebody who walks in the doors that needs this place, and they're going to need to know that they're welcomed. And part of our writing that was for that moment. Whenever that comes about, we pray that we can be there for somebody, just like Otto's neighborhood was there for him. So as you go out into this world, may you return the hand gestures with waves. May you smile when somebody persecutes or is angry with you. May you be the kind of neighbor that offers 13 cents when somebody's at the hardware store and wants 5 feet instead of 6 feet and can't quite work out the change that should be made at the register. May you be the kind of neighbors that knock on people's doors to check in to make sure that they're okay. There are so many times in my life where I felt like the Holy Spirit was sort of saying something to me like, you ought to check on them. And I almost never regret having done that. If you ever get that feeling in your stomach somewhere, wherever you get those kinds of inclinations to make a phone call, I hope you'll do it. Because that Holy Spirit is one bad sister, and she lets you know when somebody needs your help. So go out and be those kinds of neighbors that the world so desperately needs. Go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.